Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I want to pray real quick before we get started. We're talking about unmasking the enemy. If you want to get your Bibles and open up to Luke chapter 10 is where I want to start. And we looked at this scripture last week just briefly, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on it. We're going to read ahead a little bit in our message from our regular Bible reading, but that's okay. It won't hurt you to read it twice. It's good. You can never hear the word enough. You can always just hear it again, you know, and just really allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But let's pray. Now, at this point in the service, you know, we've already had a great service. Even though during worship, Tessa's guitar string broke, that's no big deal. You don't need a guitar to worship. You have these strings. They're called vocal cords. You can open your mouth and worship, you know. And you can worship God at any time. You don't just have to have music to do it. You can just be in your house and say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can be in your car and say, thank you, Lord. You're good. And it will help you become more aware of Him. And especially do it when you don't feel like it. Oh, that's the best time. Because you're putting your flesh under. It's just great. You know, I don't feel like it. I know, ain't it great? Glory to God. And it builds strength in you. And it lets your flesh know, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. But we're talking about unmasking the enemy. So let's pray. You know, there's a scripture in Mark chapter 6. It talks about how Jesus went to his own hometown. And it says he couldn't do anything mighty there. And the reason why was because of their unbelief. And unbelief can stop Jesus in his day when he walked onto earth. Do you think it could stop him today? You know, people, we have this idea that God is all powerful and he can just do whatever he wants. Well, he could, but he's a gentleman, so he doesn't. He waits for you to respond in faith to him. And when you do, then it opens up the all-powerful one to you. Does that make sense? So we're going to pray and believe God and just ask the Holy Spirit to teach us because he's our teacher. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you with open hearts. We're so thankful, Lord, that we live in America. Father, that we are blessed like we are. Thank you for this facility. Thank you, Lord, for a family of believers and those who are Christians. Lord, thank you for fellowship amongst one another, that we can meet in this place and not be concerned about having to hide or an underground church, but we can openly declare that we believe in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for this facility. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with it. And, Lord, we thank you that you've given us your written word, your word to us, your very thoughts in a book to us, inspired and written by men, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You teach us all things. You bring all things to our remembrance. You place gifts in men and give them the ability to express what it is that you said. You give us insight into the scripture to be able to understand. You open our eyes. You give us ears that hear. You impart the word with faith in our hearts as we are open to you. So we come before you and touch this thing together in agreement in prayer and ask, Father, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We expect to hear from you. We expect to have answers today. And Lord, even now, as we hear your word and the teaching of your word, we know that your angels watch over your word and perform it. Holy Spirit, that you are here to minister life to these that are here in the congregation to listen. Lord, Holy Spirit, you have free will to heal bodies, to deliver minds, to set the captive free. Set at liberty those that are captive and break chains in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 10. And I believe it's Luke chapter 10. Yes, it is. I know it is. Verse 17. And I just want to just quickly remind you, we're talking about the enemy and unmasking the enemy. There are four main things that we're going over as we start the church. Because what we're doing is building. We're building. And the most boring part about building is the foundation. You know, anybody ever seen a new house? Nobody goes and looks at the foundation. They don't care. But when they start putting walls up, when they start putting the roof on, when they start putting electrical in, nobody really cares about the plumbing. It is an important part, though. Okay? But when they start putting the plumbing in, electrical in, different things like that, when they begin to put the sheetrock up, when they begin to start finishing some of those areas, then you can start to see what the shape of the house is going to look like. But really, if you think about it, the most important part of that house is the foundation. Because you can put together the most beautiful house, but if you don't have a foundation, how long will it last? The first major rainstorm that comes through will wash away all your pretty walls and pictures. Why? Because you don't have a foundation. And what I've found through the years of being in ministry, traveling, and then pastoral ministry as well, is that most people just don't have a foundation. It's not that they don't believe that God is good. It's not that they don't believe that God heals, that he wants to prosper them. It's that they don't have that substructure, some of the basic knowledge or principles of the word in their life established. So when storms come, they don't know how to stand strong. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to not just, you know, be passionate about worship, but know how to worship when you don't feel like it when you leave. Not just hear a word and agree with it, but hear, agree, accept, and then act on what you hear. Live it out on a day-to-day basis, because that's what produces the solidity of the word in your life. Jesus said, if you hear the word but don't do the word, you're basically like you didn't hear it in the first place. You forget. You walk away from it. Action gives a solid foundation to what you hear. We talked about how when you hear the word, faith comes. You don't have to stir faith up. You don't have to try and manufacture it. Faith is encased inside the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. So inside that word that you hear, if you are open to it, it will seed in your heart and produce what? Faith. Faith acted upon produces results here and now. That is essentially the basis of faith. If you hear it, if it seeds in you, and then as you hear it, it seeds in you, you walk it out, it begins to produce results in your life. And how many have read through some of the promises of God? They are amazing. They're way better than what you could ever come up with on your own. I mean, you think about that. You think about that. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. That is totally counter to our culture. And it's counter to most of the church. It's opposite. No, we got trouble. We got to cry. No. You got trouble. Be of good cheer. The Lord is with you. You're not going to go under. You're going to act on the word and stand in the storm. And a storm that would take out most people ain't going to take you out. Does that make sense? Because you're a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Now, I can always feel it when I get into the subject of being a doer and not a hearer only. It's the nature of the flesh to go, oh, I wish I could. No, we're not wishing. We're doing. Yeah, but I've made so many mistakes. No, we're not talking about your mistakes. We're talking about Jesus' perfect righteousness operating in you. You need to forget about your past and just let it go. It's gone anyway. What are you going to do? You can't go back and live it. Paul said this. He said, those things that are behind, I forget about them. I forget about them? You can decide to forget about it? Yeah. I choose to forget about all the things that I've done wrong and walk forward and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, what happens in a lot of people's lives is the enemy is constantly bringing up their past. And when that happens, if you think about it and talk about it, it becomes like a dead weight hanging behind you. And you're trying to move forward with the Lord, but you can't figure out why it's not working. It's because you're thinking about what you did wrong. You need to be thinking about what Jesus did right. You are blameless in his sight through the blood and body of Jesus Christ. You are righteous now. You're not trying to earn it. You've got it through him. And so, we've been discussing these things, and I'm kind of doing an overview and a review here. But remember, we prayed, so we want to hear from the Holy Ghost, not just from my notes, right? All right? So What we've been doing is building the image of God. There are four things. Okay. There are four things that are foundational. Knowing the Father, knowing your enemy, knowing your relationship to your Father, and then the last one, which is what? Worshiping your Father. How to worship your Father. Now, worship is a whole lot more than a slow song. We have all sorts of weird ideas about what we think worship is. Well, we're going to praise first. What's praise? That's the fast songs. And then we're going to worship. That's the slow songs. Now, there is truth there. But really, worship is laying down your life and taking up His. That's true worship. It is your reasonable service of worship. Read Romans. You'll see it. All right? So we're talking about the enemy. We're talking about unmasking the enemy. In other words, he is a deceiver. And we need to understand the root of where that came from in order to move forward in our relationship with the Lord. Because what I desire to see so strongly, and the name of the church is Faith Family Church, and the subtitle is Life in Christ. I want to see people live life in Christ to the fullness. Not dependent on any man, but dependent and knowing and having a relationship with the Lord to where you're not just looking for people to pick you up, but you're a pick-me-up wherever you go. Because you can be it. You say, well, right now I need to be picked up. Fine, we'll pick you up. But not only, we're not going to just pick you up and keep holding you. You know, it's weird if you have a baby, you know, and they're now your child is 16 years old, but you're still changing their diaper, okay? That's not okay. All right? You got the baby pack, and you got your 20-year-old in there trying to tote them around. You know what I mean? In Christianity, it's a lot that way. There's pastors that are toting around 50-year-old babies, and they're going, you got to learn to walk on your own, but I don't want to. But you need to grow. The results of spiritual maturity way outweigh the cost of you having to sacrifice and grow and develop in your flesh. It's huge. I mean, freedom, it is so nice when everything seems like it fell apart, but you didn't. I got bills due. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. The world scrambles. Faith, people, trust the Lord. No, he can get you out. You know what most people want? An instant fix. You know what God wants? Walk with me a while. No, Lord, just make it go away. You know, we have a miracle mentality. Lord, just make it go away. I'm just here. I'm here before the throne. And the Lord says, yeah, I know about all that. Come on and sit down. No, Lord, I need the money by tomorrow. Yeah, I know. Let's talk. God's not concerned about your problem. He knows he can take care of it. It's getting you to the place where you're working with him and operating with him. And when you do, it begins to open the door to the Lord and close the door to the enemy. Okay? So let's look at Luke chapter 10 and we'll talk about this. Luke chapter 10 verse 17 says this, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So demons are subject to us in what? The name of Jesus, correct? Verse 18, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." How much of the power of the enemy? All of it. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." How much shall hurt you? That's, you know, if preachers preach that, church people get mad. No, sometimes we get hurt. Well, the Lord said, I'm not saying there won't be things that happen around you, but you know what that scripture sounds a lot like to me? Psalms 91. You go back and read Psalms 91 in conjunction with Luke chapter 10, verse 20, you'll see it. They're a lot similar. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you. Yeah, but the economy's tanking. It shall not come near you. And faith is what separates us from the rest of the world. We're putting our faith in somebody that we don't see, but we know is real in our heart, and he manifests through that faith into the seen realm. That's how it works. That's how it operates. Nothing pleases God like faith. Nothing. In fact, it is impossible to please him without it. Not hard, impossible. Now, I want to please God. Now, he's merciful. He knows where we're at. But what he does is he gives us truth, and then he lets us decide whether we're going to yield to it or not. So we see here that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, your natural mind will go, well, yeah, but I know of things that have hurt me. Well, why was that? Then the question becomes, why was that? Why did it happen that way? Because the thing we don't want to do is we don't want to accuse God of not doing what he said he would do. But understand that we need to take responsibility with maybe the fact that we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Does that make sense? Okay? Because do you think God's failing in this relationship? Come on, think with me. Nobody wants to admit that. I'll admit it first. If anybody is messing up in my relationship with the Lord, it's me. It's me. I'm off. There's no going to God like, Lord, why didn't you do what you said you would? I know he gets that question a lot. Hello? He never. Basically, you understand when you ask that question, you're saying, God, you lied. Oh, I know, that one hurts, doesn't it? But it's the truth. I don't want just flowery messages. I want to be know truth so I can be free. Does that make sense? So what we need to do is look at what the Lord said and follow that and say, Lord, you know, you said nothing will hurt me. I've had things hurt me. I've had things happen to me that I know shouldn't. Show me where I missed it. I yield to your word. I yield to you. Help me see where I missed it so I can cooperate, shut the door to the enemy, and release, allow you to flow more freely in my life. Okay, verse number 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's a good word, rejoice. Let's go to James. James chapter 4, I believe. You're believing with me, right? I know you can get comfortable in that chair and be thinking, so. James chapter 4, yes. Okay, these are two scriptures I'm actually going to talk about Satan today. He goes to church anyway. Oh, yes, he does. You ever see the people Jesus had to hang out with? He goes to church, right? All right, James chapter 4, verse number 6. These are just some foundational thoughts so that we approach what we see about Satan properly. Number one, we have authority over all his power in the name of Jesus. Okay? Secondly, verse 6 says this, James 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the what? The proud, but he gives grace to the humble, okay? Therefore, this is where it comes in, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will stand and spit in your face because he's so bad. That word flee actually means to run as in terror. Now, who is Satan running from? You, right? Not God. He's running from you. Why would he be running from you? Because you are submitted to God. Now, I want to take this just a thought just a little bit different here. I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to change one word, but it's not going to actually change it. You'll see what I'll do here. Okay, verse 7 again says, therefore submit to, I'll say, the word. Resist the devil and he will what? Is the word of God God? Yes. The word was made flesh. It's Jesus. So if think of it in those terms. Don't just think, okay, I'm kneeling before you, Lord. Think of it in terms of, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do in your word. I'm submitting to your word, and in doing that, you automatically resist the enemy. You don't have to, I bind you, devil, I'm going to fight you. You're fighting the fight of faith, okay? Don't, you know, like, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, okay? Or just in prayer in general, don't think of warring with the devil like, I got to go in my closet and tear down the principalities of heaven. And no. Where did Paul ever do that? Do you ever read that in the epistles? Do you? What about Jesus? Did you ever see him do that? What would he do? He'd walk into a place and proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe in prayer, okay? Don't disconnect on me now because of all the things you've ever heard about prayer, okay? I believe in praying. I believe in using my authority in prayer. But your main weapon against the enemy is submitting to God's word and doing what he said. Now, if you just took this one verse and in every decision you made this week, applied it, you would keep yourself so busy, you wouldn't have to think about what anybody else, whether they were doing right or wrong. You would just keep yourself busy all day long. Submit to God, resist. Does it say yell at the devil? Does it say, you know, scream at the devil? No. It says submit to the word, and when you do, you automatically what? Resist the devil. Do you know the devil's not leaving the planet? Not until the angel comes, ties him up, and throws him. And not many angels, one. I mean, God's got legions of angels. And we know at least one third of the angels left heaven with Satan. And what does God send to take out the deceiver, the great and powerful Satan? One angel with a chain. He must be bad. One angel, not even a bunch of angels, one. Just one. That really rejoices my heart. Because I know that it can feel like at times that the enemy is just like he's this massive creature. In fact, I've read books before about people that have had supposed encounters with demonic spirits and things like that. I don't doubt that they're probably good size compared to us physically. I don't know. But I know this, that if the Lord only has to send one angel... Not only that, in the scripture it says that the nations will look at Satan and go, this is the one that deceived the nations? That's it? And so he works so much on deception. So what I want to do this morning is understand we're coming at this from that perspective. Let's go to... Nope, that's not what I wanted. Let's go to, I'm going to entitle this point, The Background Check on Satan. You ever done a background check on somebody? Okay. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And the main thought I feel like the Lord wants to get to you today is this thought. And now this is a series, so you got to hear them, okay? So I can't teach everything on the devil in one day. In 35 minutes. It's just not possible, okay? So in your Old Testament, go to Ezekiel. It's just right of Jeremiah. If you need to look in your concordance, do it. Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Okay, now this is the main point today. So everything we look at from this point on, we understand from the standpoint of Luke chapter 10 and James chapter 4, the two scriptures that we just looked at. We understand that Satan is defeated and that we have authority over him in Jesus' name, and that if we submit to the word of God and resist him, this spirit, this angel, which really he's just a fallen angel, will flee from us. He will. He has no choice. Now sometimes... You know, the scripture says, when you've done all you can to stand, stand therefore. Sometimes you got to stand, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to hold your ground. You got to stay focused on what you're doing. In other words, the enemy's going to try and get you off the Word of God. That's his goal. Okay? Now, let's look at this. Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay, so we'll keep that in mind. Now, this is the main thought here. I want you to just get an understanding of who Satan is. We're not doing this because he's super strong or we're scared of him or any of that stuff. When it comes to angels and demons and Satan and stuff like that, people have preached the weirdest stuff you've ever heard to where people think there's a devil behind every bush. And if there are two angels holding him down. Because if one third of them fell, that means God still has what? Two thirds. And for every one demon, there's how many angels? Two. So we are not afraid of the enemy, okay? We are not afraid of what he's trying to do in our lives. We will stand, and when we've done all we can to stand, we'll stand again. And really, and I heard it put like this, when the Word of God gets in you, it gets strong in you, okay? I heard a preacher say this, Mark Hankins. He's a good preacher, man. Anyway, but he said this. He made this statement. He said, the spirit of faith will make you swing over hell on a cornstalk and spit in the devil's eye. I know, think about it. All right? He said, the spirit of faith will make a tadpole slap a whale. In other words, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. All right? You say you're calling me a dog. No, you're a new creation. Okay? You're a new creation. That's what you are. You're the blessed of the Lord. You're anointed. You're empowered to live victoriously. But it's who lives in you versus who has lost all power that's against you. Okay? Does that make sense? I got to clarify it. I got to go over it again because there's been so much weird teaching. People act like, well, I saw a horror movie once and, you know, a lamp moved across my room when I was, you know, weird stuff. Or somebody, I played with a Ouija board. I probably got devils. No, you don't. Unless you opened yourself up to it. And even if you did, there is deliverance. Okay? You know, I watched The Exorcist before I was saved. That's a weird movie. But they always show Hollywood is not the correct depiction of the church. Stop watching those. They're wrong. That's a weird movie. They always got, and I'm not against Catholic people because I know some very powerful Catholic ministers that know the Lord. But it's always the Catholic church that's involved, okay? When it comes to an exorcism, all right? A deliverance, okay? Bless the Catholics. I'm not against the Catholics, okay? But in the movies and in the Hollywood movies, it's wrong. You know, they show some guy like shaking to go in to set free a little girl who's so possessed that her head spins in a circle. Zzz, 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 you know, in this movie. And they act like Satan is this massive force. No, Satan is the one that we will look at the end of the ages and go, that's it? Satan is the one that one angel will come. One angel will come and take him and tie him in a chain and put him in the pit. It's not going to be a war. It's not going to be a battle in the sense of the enemy's going to like get all his forces together and it'll look like God's winning and then it'll look like Satan's winning. And then in the end, whew, God will win. God already won. It's already done. The battle's already been won. Jesus won. Jesus already won the victory. We're not trying to get victory. We're walking in a victory we already possess in him. Does that make sense? I feel like the Holy Spirit's just trying to kill fear, kill fear, kill fear, kill it. Just kill it. Why? Because Satan has been stripped. What does that mean? He's been disarmed. Now, if I was going to fight Mike, and I said, Shane, and I had Chris pull his arms off first, who's going to win the fight? Me. Why? He's got no arms. Okay? That's how you need to picture Satan, disarmed. Disarmed. Come on, think with me. Sickness, disarmed. Rebellion, disarmed. Depression, disarmed. It's been removed. Mental chains, disarmed. Disappointment, disarmed. Poverty, disarmed. You see what I'm saying? It's been destroyed. So, that being said, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 11. I got 15 minutes. We're doing good. You guys are listening fast. Thank you for doing your part. I really appreciate it. I can tell you're in this. So, okay. Verse 11 says, moreover. Now, this is, when we read Ezekiel 28 and when we read Isaiah chapter 14, there is a law in principle called, or in effect, called the law of double reference. The law of double reference. What does that mean? That means that this is a prophecy that Ezekiel gave to the, I think it's the king of Tyre, but he's addressing Satan. Does that make sense? So part of this prophecy applies to the king of Tyre, part of it applies to the prince of the power of the air or Satan, okay? So that's the law of double reference. Now, if you read, you can read through the whole chapter if you want later, but I'm not going to do all that. I'm going to start in verse 11. This is where the prophecy begins to speak of Satan, okay? Now, I want you to see this and understand this because this is before Satan. This is an account of before Satan was ever on the earth, okay? Now, let's look at it. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so these are the words of God. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now remember, double reference. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. Now, this is an angel. He's got timbrels and pipes. He's got pipes in him. Not like pipes, you know. Not like guns, like muscles. But pipes, actual pipes. They believe that Satan was the worship leader in heaven before he fell. Okay? So, let's look at this again. Verse 14. No, I'm sorry. The workmanship, the last part of verse 13. Was prepared for you on the day you were created. Okay, stop. Was he created? Is he a creator? No. Okay, let's just put what class is God in? Creator. What class is Satan in? Created. God knows Satan from a creative standpoint. Nobody knows how to take apart the devil like God. And who is your father? Is there any battle we can't win? Isn't that good? You feel that? Woo, I do. Glory to God. Okay, verse 14. You were the anointed cherub. He was anointed at one time. He was anointed. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. God says, I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. He was with God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. I read that, I thought, show me the fiery stones. He walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Are the fiery stones real? Oh, yeah, they're real. Is the mountain of God real? You understand that's where we're going when we get out of here? If the Lord doesn't return and bring it here first, which would be cool. The fiery stones. We are going to see some things one day when we get to heaven. I'm telling you what. We have no idea. And people think you're going to sit on a cloud with a harp. No, we will be learning and expanding forever. Growing and developing. The universe doesn't end. You do realize that. They can't find the end of it. It's a cool thought. All right. Verse 15. We're going down through verse 19. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were what? How was he when he was created? Till what? Read the next verse with me. Till iniquity was what? Found in you. Now I want you to see that. That's very important. Does a creator find things in a creation that he didn't know was there? No. No. You say, why do you say that? Because there's a lot of people that teach that God created the devil, the devil. They have this idea that God created Satan so he could have an arch nemesis, so we could have a, you know, somebody to choose between. No. Iniquity was found in. Can you hide anything from God? No. How did iniquity get found in him? Well, as we read on, you'll see. The enemy, and this the Lord was dealing with me about this early this morning, but he was dealing with me about the fact that the enemy was created perfectly. He was beautiful. He had apparently had some emeralds and sapphires and things built into him. I don't understand all that. But he was a beautiful created being that God created to worship him, that God made perfectly, but he began to imagine that he wanted to be God. Apparently, at some level, Satan had choice. He could choose. He had some sort of will in there. He could either choose to use, now listen to me very closely, I don't want you to miss this. He could either choose to use what God created him to be with the abilities that God gave him to worship his creator, or he could choose to take the things that God had given him in creation and ability and try and serve himself. You see that? Now, you say, why is that so important? Because you can choose the same. You can either take your abilities and gifts that God's given you and choose to worship him with them, or you can choose to worship yourself. In other words, you can choose to use those things to serve yourself. Does that make sense? Okay, think about it with me because it's very important because much of what the enemy does in our lives is motivated by selfishness. It's motivated by selfishness. Well, I'm not happy. Well, why are you not happy? What are you focusing on? Everything you feel, everything you think, everything that's not going right for you? Because if you're focusing on God, you're just seeing the blessings of God, the favor of God, the goodness of God. There's not room for unhappy. Well, I'd be happier if I lived in Hawaii. No, you wouldn't. You'd be there. Well, if I just lived in a different state. Nope. It's not how it works. Joy is from the inside out. Nothing in this earth can create happiness for you. I've shared the Lord with people before, and they're like, and they know it's true, but they refuse to repent. That's a serious situation. They know it's true, but they refuse to change. They refuse to. Not like, you know, and then I'll share the Lord with them. I've had people sit there while I'm sharing the Lord with them and just cry. I mean, something's happening. It's not like I'm hitting them while I'm telling them. You know? That's not what's happening. I'm not twisting their arm. The Lord is convicting them. They're responding. Their emotion is responding to the Holy Spirit. What's going on? They're being convicted, but they refuse to change. They look at me and they say, well, yeah, if I just had, you know, if I just had a wife and kids. You know, I had one guy tell me, well, you got a pretty wife. You know? Yeah, I do. And that's why you're happy. No, I'm happy and have joy because I have the Lord. The pretty wife is just the blessing that comes along with it. You understand what I'm saying? If my joy, if my rest, if my everything is dependent on someone else, I will never be happy. If it's in circumstance, your circumstances are going to change. But when it's in the Lord, you have an anchor that cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. All right? So what Satan did here is he decided to think a little bit differently. He decided not to submit. Is what he decided to do. All right, verse 16 says this, by the abundance of your trading, and that word actually means like merchandise and things like that, you became filled with violence within. Was he created filled with violence within? No. And you what? Sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the fiery stones. There they are again. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your... What did he do? He corrupted his wisdom. Did God put corrupt wisdom in him? No. He corrupted what he had. You realize you can corrupt what you have? If you choose to follow Satan, you will corrupt what God's given you. This is good to see because we need to know it so we can recognize it and resist it. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Notice this is all you. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw. And who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror. What is he? Don't go to horror movies. You see that? Don't watch that stuff. What if somebody said to you, Anna, how would you like to have a 3-hour vision from Satan? That's what horror movies are. They're just depravity. They're junk. And Jesus said Satan has become a what? A horror. He's the author of it. All right? And shall be no more forever. So, what we see here, now I want to go back to verse 16 real quick and just say this. It says, you have become, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. You became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and I destroyed you. Now, what does that remind you of? What did we talk about last week? I'm going to tie it all the way back. What did Jesus say he saw Satan do? Fall like lightning. What is this the account of? Him falling like lightning right there. You see that? That's pretty cool, huh? I mean, that's glory to God. We have the record of it. We understood what took place because of the Bible, because of the Word of God. We understood what took place behind the scenes of the natural. This is the account of it here. And God sent a prophet to speak it out. God gives words that are unseen to man and understanding so that we can see into the unseen realm. And that's what the Bible is. You believe in visions. Absolutely believe in visions. But I'm not looking for visions. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to teach me out of this. I don't seek visions ever. I seek God and His Word. Have you ever had a vision? I don't know that I've ever had a vision. I know I've had a dream where God's given me a dream. And I've probably had three that meant something in my life. The rest, I ate too much pizza before I went to bed. Okay? are you against those things? I am not against the gifts of the Spirit. I am against seeking spectacular things and missing supernatural things. We don't know God showed up just because you had goosebumps. Come on. How is that goosebump going to help you in the middle of the week when you're in the middle of a trial? Lord, I remember the goosebump. Send the goosebump, Lord. No. You need to know Him. This is the foundation. Will we have supernatural things take place in our lives? Undoubtedly. He's a supernatural God. But the reality is we live day to day by this. Okay, side note, but that was a good one. All right, so verse 16 talks about how he's cast out of heaven, okay? Satan decided to reject God who created him and gave him his position and ability. He began to focus on himself to the point that he rejected the truth about who created him and what he was created for. It cost him everything. The same will happen to you. If you reject God for the purpose that he created you and the ability that he's given you, it will cost you everything. Every time. God is not going to bless your rebellion. Are you kidding? Mike mentioned it in the offering. You got to obey. You got to obey. You talk about tithing. Well, I tithe. I'm a tither. I give more than 10%, okay? Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what I do. Why do I do that? Because I know the Lord said, if I sow bountifully, I'll reap bountifully. But not only that, the more full of God in my relationship with Him that I have, the more I want to give. Now, I don't just give and, you know, I don't have anything. I started where I was and I'm a lot further today than I was back then. Why? God's increase year after year after year. That's how it works. And you grow, you develop in those things. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. I'm not taking up another offering. You know what Paul said? And the Lord said this to me the other day. Paul said in Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he said, "My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus," correct? Everybody knows that verse. But you know the verse that we usually skip or don't really look at? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, in your giving, when somebody gives me something, or when offerings are taken to the church, Paul's whole mentality, and a lot of times you can say these things and people are like, yeah, right. But Paul really meant it. His whole mentality in having giving going on was the reward, the fruit that would come back to the other person. Because Paul made the statement in Philippians, he said, I'm not after your gift. I'm after the blessing that comes back to you. There's a reason why I talk about giving in the middle of the message and I don't stop and take up an offering. Because I want you to make the decision of what you feel like God's telling you to do. And let me just say this. If he's telling you to do nothing, you better do it. If he's telling you to give somewhere else, you had better do it. Because God's not just going, I want your money. God's not in heaven going, one gold piece, two gold piece, three gold piece. No. What's the Scrooge? Is that the guy? Yeah. He's not Scrooge. He doesn't care about your gold piece. He's got gold pavement. You know, I got a pearl necklace or a pearl ring. You know, women get pearl. God goes, build a gate out of it. A gate? What if you came to my house today and I had a pearl gate? I think that rich preacher would have wasting the church's money. I would be just like God. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about that stuff. It's about our heart in it. Do you think there's efficiency apartments in heaven? Everybody gets a 1, 2, 3-room house? Lord, we have a family of 10. You know, because there's larger and smaller families. Well, this is all we can afford, boys. Sorry. You see that? I don't know how I got off on that. But that is a happy thought. God in heaven driving a gas-saving car. What's baby's paid for? It's got rust on it, but... God's not doing that. And see, here's the thing. I'm not telling you to go out and buy a new car. But if you do, Chris sells cars. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to change our mentality about what God is like and realize that Satan has darkened this earth and he wants to bring so much darkness to your life that you don't know how you're going to get out. But when you actually begin to see God and who he is and your heart begins to open up to who he is in faith, your life will be different. You could be happy in Alaska. Some people are like, yes. Some people are like, no, I couldn't. If the Lord said, I want you to do it, then the grace is there to do it, and you could do it. I heard one guy say, and I'm not Southern, but this guy is a Southern preacher. He said, you could be happy if you have God underneath a pine tree with cold cornbread and wild onions. If that's all you had to eat. If that's all you had, you could sit there and go, glory to God, this onion's cold. It tastes so good. I love cornbread. And just be happy. Why? Because you've got God. You've got God. You don't have to follow Satan. You've got God. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse number 12. We'll start there. Says this. Now, the title in my Bible says The Fall of Lucifer, but this again is the law of double reference, just so you know, okay? Because it talks about the king of Babylon previously. Okay, it says, how you are fallen from heaven. Now, we already know how that happened at light speed. And it says, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. What does he do to the nations? He weakens them, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not weak. You're strong in him and in the power of his might. You can do all things through him. Okay? You weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. What did he do? He said, I'll ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I also will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Boy, I want to see that so bad. The mount of the congregation. God's into mountains. You know what I mean? The far sides of the north. How much north can you go until you hit God? You can't get any higher than that. That's north, north. That's really north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, this is what God says. You shall be brought down to Sheol or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. I wonder if Satan wished he wouldn't have said what he said. Let me say it like this, because there are two different statements there. The first one is what Satan says. I'm gonna take God out. You know, he's still saying that because he's so dumb. I'm going to take God out. I'm gonna be on the throne. I'm going to have the throne. And God said, I'm going to thrust you through with a sword. You're going to be so far down, you can't even get any more down. Do you see what's going on here? Now, don't disconnect on me here, because I'm going to wrap it up right here. In fact, I'll close my Bible. Just so you know, I'm riding on Holy Ghost wings right now. Here we go. All right? No notes. You realize what we read at the beginning in James chapter 4, verse 7? Submit to God or his word, right? Resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from who? You. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. Okay? You need to say that all day long if you're not sure about that. Just take that verse this week and just go, no, submitting to God, you're fleeing, devil. Sing him a song. Bye-bye. See you later. Maybe Tessa could go behind you with her guitar. Okay, Isaiah chapter 14, the first part was Satan's word. The last part was what? God's words. Which words won? Which words are you submitting to? Will you win? Yes, you will. God has never failed you. Now, here's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to say Satan's words. And as we get more and more into this, you'll see there are hundreds of scriptures where God deals with what Satan is exactly like. It's interesting. I thought, okay, I'll get some scriptures together, and I started compiling them. Oh my goodness, I'll never get to them all. But Satan is moving and operating in the earth, trying to get in your mouth. If words aren't powerful, then why did Satan try and use them against God? And why did God's words come at him and drive him down? Words are very powerful. And that, Isaiah chapter 14, I really believe we see it. If we submit to God's words and say those things, and from our heart believe those things, we are automatically resisting the devil. You don't have to go around going, I resist you, I resist you, I resist you, I resist you. I resist you, I resist you, I resist you. Let me ask you this. If you turned that verse around, what if you submit to the devil? Are you resisting God? Yes. You see it? So you can see how, now let's take it all the way back around. You can see how knowing the Father and knowing your enemy are pretty important. Because there are a lot of people who are speaking the enemy's language and they don't even know it. And they can't figure out why they can't get free. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. Oh, they're definitely born again. Yes, they are. They're going to go to heaven when they die. There's no question. They believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he's the only way to heaven. But they haven't applied the rest of the knowledge, or they didn't get it. And so they're living in frustration. They can't figure out how to get out. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Follow the light. I can't see it. Yeah, it's a faith light. You see what I'm saying? Follow the truth. Follow the light. Okay? Don't stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it. Stay with it. The Bible doesn't say we walk by feeling. We walk by faith. Well, you don't care about my feelings. Now, come on. Hold together. Grab hold of the word. I don't care if you got to cry while you're reading the healing scripture. Do it. I don't care if you have to cry while you're reading the scripture where God's going to meet your needs. Do it. I don't care if you have to cry while you're reading the scriptures on the promises for your family. Do it. Declare it. And say, Lord, I'm not going to try and have a feeling. I'm not going to try and have a vision. You said in your word, this is what I have. I claim it and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And now, Satan, I submit to this word and I resist you and you will flee. And Satan's going to come to you and go, what'd you do that for? That's not going to work. You know that it hasn't worked for the last 10 years. You just say, shut up. You're fleeing. Let me read your part to you again, Satan. You flee from me. That's what you do. I submit to God. See, Satan, you're mixing up the roles. We're not having conversation. I'm submitting to God. You're running as in terror. Come on. You see it? I know it doesn't sound spectacular, but it will produce spectacular results. I didn't feel any. You don't need to. Just faith it. Just faith it. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Faith it. If you learn to live like this, you're unstoppable. I mean, unstoppable. I'm not saying Satan won't try and come back and attack you again, but you got the answer. It is him. You got the answer. It is written. Eventually, I believe we're going to get into where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and how he beat the devil. All he did was speak words. And the devil was wore out. I mean, wore out. The Bible says that he had to leave for a season. In other words, he got his rear end so kicked, he had to go heal up for a season. You can do that in your life because Christ is in you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. You're just awesome, God. You have done so much for us, and it is so exciting, Lord, to me to see more and more of what you're doing. Let me just say thank you for the truth that we're receiving. Thank you for the illumination of your scripture that you're giving to us. Holy Spirit, that you're teaching us with. Lord, we covet your words. We covet your presence, and we covet your move, Lord. We want it. And Father, we purpose not to just be hearers only, but to be doers of the word this week. In every situation, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you bring back to our remembrance these verses that we've heard so that we can put them into practice in our lives. And as we do, we know that we'll be blessed because you said that doers of the word are blessed. And Lord, we know that your character is faithfulness. That means you never misstep. You never do anything wrong. You always do what you say you're going to do. So we can rejoice in advance of seeing it because we just know how trustworthy you are. So Father, I thank you for that word today and your words today. Lord, I just declare and ask and speak by the Spirit and by the word a blessing over this group in Jesus' name. Lord, let your anointing rest on them. Father, let your presence go with them. Lord, thank you that you're strengthening them and moving them forward in their relationship with you, and that you're blessing them with your blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.